Welcome back to another episode of Your Pocket Nurse, a podcast for student and graduate nurses. I would like to acknowledge the Wurundjeri people as the original owners of the land that I am recording on. I pay my respects to elders past, present, and emerging. Welcome back, everyone, to a new episode of Your Pocket Nurse. It's been quite a while since I've released an episode. I think it's been about 2 months, but I suppose life has been quite busy, and unfortunately, I think the podcast had to take a bit of a backseat, but I'm super excited to bring you a new episode, and today I'm going to be chatting to Sabine all about completing a grad year at a rural hospital in the Northern Territory. So we'll be diving into what it's like to move away from your hometown and try something new, and I suppose it's a difference in sort of healthcare services that you might see in a metro hospital compared to a rural one. So welcome. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
No worries. Thanks for joining me. I'm very excited. I feel like I love interviewing people that I don't know a lot about what they're going to chat about. And I feel like I'm just sitting here learning so much the entire conversation.
Well, hopefully it's interesting.
I'm sure it will be. So usually I start off with asking three sort of general questions to get to know you. So the first one is, why did you become a nurse? And if you weren't a nurse, what job do you think you'd have?
I got into nursing, and I don't, like, when I was in grade eight, I don't know what it was that made me decide, like, I was interested in it. I can't remember exactly, but I think it could have been, like, my grandparents were nurses, so I don't know if that, like, kind of impacted me growing up. And then just in general, I like the hands-on, like, work, and that you get to, like, deal with people, and then, like, just seeing people get better, and, like, being with people when they're in times of need, and, like, obviously sick and in vulnerable way, and just seeing them get better as well. I like that. So yeah, and just the different opportunities that nursing has, like, there's so many different areas you can go down.
I know, and you probably weren't thinking when you started, like, your degree that you'd be, you know, working your first year as a nurse in the Northern Territory.
No, I think I'd be shocked to learn that.
Yeah,
back when I was, like, yeah, first year uni. But if I wasn't nursing, when I was younger, like, all through primary school, I just wanted to be a hairdresser. That was, like, maybe I would be a hairdresser now. I'm not really sure.
Nice. I sometimes think about that too. It'd be fun to, like, you know, it's like the same thing as nursing. I know it's different, but, you know, the end result, you make someone feel so good, you know,
And you like so make up the colors, like, instead of antibiotics, it's like mixing colors. I don't know, maybe they're kind of similar.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know. Now I've started nursing, I'm like, I couldn't really imagine, like, just doing any other job, I feel like. So, yeah.
Nice. Do you think that, I suppose, like, I'm going to be completely naive, I don't really know much about what's happening outside of Victoria, but, like, have you felt that a lot of nurses are coming to the Northern Territory because of, like, maybe burnout in other states, or do you think there is a burnout, like, it's sort of the same level in the Northern Territory, like, health service?
It's kind of both, I'd say, because being in, like, a rural area, the turnover of staff is, like, quite high, because we get a lot of agency nurses that just come for, like, 3 months, or, like, people go traveling around Australia and they stop by and, like, do work for a bit, but then continue on somewhere else. But also, I think nurses that are burnt out that work in the hospital, like, full time as well, like, so it's kind of like we're a bit understaffed and it's hard to get, like, permanent staff, but then there's, like, this constant changeover of people as well.
Yeah And I suppose it'd be difficult having to, you know, train people to be familiar with the board and things, like, especially if it's, you know, it's, like, only temporary, like, you know, you're gonna just train them for, like, 3 months and then they'll be gone again, and then you have to do it again and again and again. So I feel like it would be quite difficult for, like, the people that have been there for a while.
Yeah, and they, what the heck was I going to say? It's, like, gone from my brain. That's Can't remember.
That's all right. I'm sure we'll come back to you.
Oh, wait, yeah. I was going to say that compared to, like, different, like, people often coming from different states as well, and, like, there are some differences between like state health services, I feel like, just in like terms of like how things are run. I feel, well, that's what some people have said to me, and I noticed a few differences when I started, but now I'm
Yeah.
like, I'm used to like it.
What differences would you think are the most like obvious ones?
I think, I suppose like there's more junior staff, and like kind of the scope of what you can do is some things when I started, like, because I know people have done their grad year in Queensland, like they would get like marked off on different skills and competencies, but here like you would get shown by someone, and like it wouldn't be as like official. You're caught more kind of like, yeah, oh, once you've like seen someone do it, you can do it yourself. So it just more relaxed kind of, I suppose. And yeah, I can't think of anything else specifically. They're probably just little differences.
Yeah, just little differences. Fair enough. And what area of nursing do you think you eventually want to work in?
Oh, that is a good question. I'm not even 100% sure myself. Like, it's, I really like pretty much all my placements, and so I'm kind of open to trying out like potentially ICU, but I'm not 100% sure if I'll like that. But I am interested in maybe going down the RFDS route later on. So I'm like, maybe try get some critical care experience and see if I do like that, and if that's something I do want to pursue. But yeah, I'm not entirely sure. I'm kind of open to anything at the moment.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's always exciting, like at the start of your career. Like, there's so many options, and even when you're like further down your career, you can always change. Like, I
That's
just
true.
got a new job as a peds nurse, so I'm super excited for that. But like, I always thought I wanted to do that maybe one day, but you know, it constantly changes. You know, one day I'm like, yeah, I really want to do this. The next day, you know, and then sometimes I watch, there's like a TV show called Emergency. I don't know if you've seen it, but
I
it's
think I've
filmed.
seen a few episodes, yeah.
Yeah, it's filmed at the Royal Melbourne Hospital. And I watch that and I'm like, oh my God, maybe I want to work in emergency. You know, I feel like I just see different things or hear like about someone's day. And I'm like, oh, actually, that's really interesting. And I think that's like, you know, it's such a great benefit of nursing is that you can literally do whatever and you can change. And it's, yeah, it's exciting. I just wanted to touch on for people that don't know, I don't know what the acronym is, but for the Royal Flying Doctors Service, like, can you tell us a bit about that, for people? Because we actually have some international listeners, so people might not know about it. So,
So the Royal Flying Doctors Service, I don't know where exactly. I think it may have actually started in Alice. I'm not sure. I've been to the museum, I should know.
yeah.
But it's basically a flying doctor's service that services the most remote parts of Australia, so that people that live there can still get access to healthcare when they need it, and they're often like transported then from their remote area to bigger hospitals. In the NT, it's normally like Adelaide. Everyone goes down to Adelaide because they have yeah, more services than Darwin does. So yeah, they go
Oh, is
there.
Adelaide the closest in comparison?
Well, but it's from where I am, it's like we're in the middle of Darwin and Adelaide. But yeah, if someone's really sick, they normally go to Adelaide rather than Darwin.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And
So.
so do they have, obviously, there's the name doctors involved. So is there also nurses on board?
Yes, there's nurses, flight nurses, and I think they have midwives as well. I think it depends on what the case is as to like if
Who gets sent out?
who goes, like doctors or nurses or whatever.
Very
Yeah, that's
interesting.
kind of it.
I know
Yeah,
there's.
and there's
You go.
sorry. I was just gonna say, like, we have often have patients that come from communities like hundreds of kilometers away that get sometimes like transported in by RFDS, or there's another flight service, I can't remember what it's called, but yeah, people often are being transported to the hospital by them.
Yeah, I think it's amazing. Like, I live in a quite metro area, and I think, there's so many hospitals near me. Like, you're spoiled for choice, really. The wait times are still long, but there's so many, if you're having chest pain or something goes wrong, like, you call an ambulance, and, hopefully, it gets there soon enough, even though with all these delays at the moment with ramping and things like that. But yeah, imagine like living in the middle of nowhere in Australia and something happens, like, you can't just have the privilege of having all these hospitals at your, like, 20-minute drive. They're like hours and hours away. Even, like, I know there's places where even the closest shopping center, like, to get food is like a whole day away sometimes.
Yeah, it is a bit scary when you think about it, but I suppose it would probably be comforting to know that there is that the RFDS that can help people if they
I
need
know,
it.
I know, and I wonder, like, I don't know a lot about it, but like, imagine if there was like not that service, it would, it'd be really difficult for people to get, basic healthcare that, everyone should be entitled to.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they do like clinics, and that they go to different like communities and stuff and do clinics, like just general like health clinics for certain things, because there's also not that there.
Yeah, like, I suppose there's not even GPs around, really. It'd be difficult to access any healthcare for that matter, even if it's not like an emergency. So, very interesting. So, throughout your grad year and even placement, what has been your favorite clinical experience or moment?
This question, when I was like preparing, I was like, oh, I don't even know. Like, but then I was thinking about it, and the thing that I would probably have to say was when I was on my theatre placement, it was like my final placement of my nursing degree, and it was the last day, and I got to scrub in for a surgery, and like, I can't actually remember what the surgery was called now, but it was more about the experience. Like, and my buddy scrub nurse basically like let me do all the scrubbing, so I got to like assist the doctor and like pass them the instruments, and like it was a really cool experience, and I it really like the teamwork that happens in theatre. I was like, oh, this is so cool, like everyone just like knows their role and what needs to be done, and you're all working towards like the same thing, like the doing the operation for the patient. So yeah, but I'd probably say that was good.
Nice. Yeah, I think it's always like a cool experience when you work closely with like a tight-knit group. I had like a place, oh, not a placement, sorry, I had a study day in radiology, but it was like angio, and they were doing different like procedures, and it was just like I was just standing there not really doing anything. I felt like a student, but I was just watching, and yeah, there's the doctor like doing everything, and then the nurse is like so involved, and there was a radiographer as well, like helping, direct, the procedure and everything. So it's, I think it'd be such a cool experience to have such a, multidisciplinary approach, rather than I sometimes, on the ward, it's a lot of the nurses just running around, and sometimes, you might get some help from someone else, but otherwise, you're really, leading that care. So we'll dive into the Northern Territory grad year, but firstly, maybe tell us where you are from, and like, why did you decide to do a grad year in the Northern Territory, and maybe chat about how you settled into a new area and making friends, and I suppose there's a lot of people that have been messaging me. And I've been helping people apply from other states for Victorian grad years, so I suppose it's a bit different to the Northern Territory. But like, how do you make friends when you don't know anyone there?
Well, firstly, I am from Ipswich in Queensland, so it's like an hour, no, not even an hour, like 30 minutes from Brisbane. And I was interested in doing my grad year in the Northern Territory because I actually did a double degree in nursing and public health, so I was really had an interest in rural and remote health, and I just, I thought that the opportunities you get in doing your grad like somewhere rural are just completely different to what you get in a metro area, and because I was interested in it, I was like, oh, I really have my heart set, I was like, I'll apply, like give it a go at least and see what happens. And yeah, then I applied for some in Queensland as well, but yeah, then I ended up going to the Northern Territory because the hospital I'm at, it's still quite big in term, well, it's pretty big, I think. It's like 280 beds or something. So there's still like you see a wide variety of things, but it's you still get that remoteness, so it's kind of like best of both worlds, I suppose. What was the other part of the question? Oh,
And
about
tell
making
us,
friends.
yeah, like how do you settle into moving to a completely new state or like a city or something like that?
Like at first, well, I was kind of worried. I was like, I don't know anyone. Like, what if I've made a mistake? Like,
Such a
but
big change.
yeah, like moving away from like everyone that I know and my family and that. But so I live in nursing quarters, so that definitely helped because people that have also moved from interstate like are staying here, so you're all kind of in the same boat, and everyone's looking to make friends and. I don't know, just everyone on my ward, like at the hospital, is so nice and like friendly. Like it, I didn't find it too difficult to make friends because everyone was just really nice. And there's always like things happening as well. I feel like there's heaps of like social sports and like different things like that. So I like joined a netball team and made friends like through, yeah, just doing things that I was interested in.
Nice. So just saying lots of yes and taking on lots of opportunities.
Yeah, pretty much. Like I was saying to you before, like when I first moved here, I was like super busy because I was just being so social, like doing things all the time, which was really fun but a bit tiring when, but I was also like, yes, new friends, like new place, like want to do everything.
Yeah, I know. Like, I remember when I started my grad year and I was the complete opposite. I was like, no, I can't go out. Like, I'm too tired. Like, I need to just
Tired.
rest, you know? And like, I think for it took me like 2 months to be able to actually like socialize with, outside of work friends because I was like, I have like no mental capacity to like think about anything. I'm just like so drained from work. So I feel like, you're juggling both, you want to make friends, but you also want to relax after, so busy day.
I feel like it did like tire me out. That's why I was like, oh, I need to chill out a bit, just like not say yes to everything. But now I feel like I'm more used to shift work, which like at first I was like, oh, how the heck am I ever going to be used to this? Like, I'm so tired.
Yeah.
But
Is the nursing quarters close to the hospital?
yeah, it's literally like pretty much right next door to it, so it's really convenient.
Oh, so late earlies will be fun, and even night shift,
Yeah,
you can just wake
I'm
up
like
like half an
college.
hour before and off you go.
Yeah, or finishing night shift, I'm just like, oh, my bed is like 5 minutes away.
Oh, jealous. Is there lots of like fun things to do in the, have you traveled around the Northern Territory on like annual leave or like days off?
I haven't gone like on a big trips, but I have been camping quite a few times, like because there's a lot of national parks around, like and now because it's been winter, so it's been quite cold, but it's been better weather for camping compared to in summer. It's like so hot.
Oh, what's cold for you up there?
It's actually it was like in the negatives for like 2 weeks,
Oh,
which I
really?
think it's because it's like in desert, and I think people just think of like it's going to be hot, but it also gets like that cold extreme as well.
Yeah. Would that be at night? But during the day, is it still negative?
In the mornings it was, but it's warming up again now. But yeah, I went on a trip down to Melbourne in winter as well, and I was like, oh, the weather in Melbourne is like the same as it is in like the
Well,
NT, which is a weird, you wouldn't think.
that's so surprising. I would think it'd be like, I suppose in summer it'll be really sticky.
It's more of like dry heat, which when
Dry,
I
yeah.
also moved here, because I'm like from Queensland, we're used to the humidity, and it was so hot. It was like 40 degrees. I was like, oh my goodness, like I can't deal with this. But yeah, I think I've acclimatized now.
Nice. Well, very interesting experience. And what rotations have you had so far? And can you talk to us about sort of the typical presentations and maybe, oh, well, the next question will go on to that a bit more. But yeah, what Like, what have you learned, and how do you think it's different, like patient presentation wise?
I'm on a medical ward at the moment, which is just a general medical ward. I'm going to surgical in about 3 weeks' time, but a lot of the common presentations, like renal problems, would probably be the number one thing I'd say, like the proportion of the population that has kidney disease and is on dialysis is really high. I think I new research just came out and it's like some of the highest like in the world,
Wow.
which is really sad considering how like it's not that big of a population. But so often people come in with having missed dialysis, which kind of goes back to like social issues, because if people are coming from like if people need to go back to their community for if someone's died or something, or they have family business to attend to, then they often miss dialysis, trying to like balance their different commitments and like just the renal things, and also a lot of infections. During winter, there was a lot of influenza and community-acquired pneumonia, and also see like things like scabies, which I hadn't seen in, when I was on placement in Brisbane, and also a lot of diabetic-related conditions. People coming with unstable BGLs, and diabetic ulcers and wounds. Also some SLE, like that type of lupus, is more commonly seen in Aboriginal people as well. So sometimes people have flare-ups of that with like the joint pain, so they come in for that. And often see a lot of social admissions as well, because I'd say discharge planning is quite a more significant thing here than I saw in Brisbane, because in Brisbane people would come to hospital then like be like, oh yeah, going home, like getting picked up by someone and just going like 20 minutes down the road. But here it's like people might have to go like hundreds of kilometers back, and you need to organize like how they're going to get back, if they'll be transferred by RFDS, or if they need to stay in town for any outpatient appointments, that sort of thing. So that was something I didn't really think about. Well, I mean, I had thought about like people traveling far distances, but I didn't think about like how that would like impact their stay in hospital and that sort of thing. So yeah.
Interesting. And yeah, I suppose for people that I like most of the people that listen to the podcast are from Australia, but there is that don't the Northern Territory has like a really large Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander community, so I suppose that also adds to different types of presentations that you might sort of not see. And I suppose that all stems back to sort of that generational trauma and things like that to do with healthcare. And I'm not like I don't know a whole heap about this, because I just did a few subjects at uni, but would you say that sort of is, a reason why a lot of these presentations pop up?
I did, when I first started, I did this orientation to like it was Aboriginal cultural awareness training run by these two Aboriginal ladies, and it was really interesting to put things into perspective, like how what happened with like the Stolen Generation and all those sorts of things happening.
Oops, I think I'm losing you a bit.
Oops, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay, cool. Should I repeat that? Okay.
Yeah, I think we heard you about the Stolen Generation, and then you were
Oh,
cutting
yep.
there.
Okay. Yeah, so I was saying, how that's manifested in the, like things that happened with the Stolen Generation, and that has manifested into what is being seen today. And I mean, there's many factors that kind of impact it, but I'd say like the main thing I try to remember is that like with the Stolen Generation, like healthcare was sort of provided like in by missionaries and that sort of thing. So as like an institution almost. So a lot of Aboriginal people see like the hospital like can still be obviously like we're here to help, but like there is like
Distrust
a
and things
role,
like
yeah, like distrust in like the system, which is completely understandable considering like people would go to hospital and end up having their children taken off them and that sort
that.
of thing. And it wasn't really that long ago when you think about it. And the other thing is like the housing conditions and that sort of thing as well, which causes like overcrowding in houses and that, which then yeah leads to poor can lead to poor health outcomes if there's like unsanitary conditions. But recently in the NT, so there used to be like a card that people would get their payments put on. I think it was called the Basics card, and like they would only be able to use that card, like they couldn't take cash out and or like accumulate any funds basically, like once like the certain amount of time had passed, like they'd get their new lot of money and only be able to spend it at like certain shops and that sort of thing. But that's recently like it like the law or whatever has expired for that, so it'll be interesting to see like if they change that, because I think evidence shows that it's not actually a good way of going about things, because people then don't have that financial literacy and they're not able to like like create a like life for themselves and like make choices about their money, that sort of thing. So I don't know, there's so many different factors that like impact things I could talk about for ages,
Yeah, I know,
but
especially with your public health background. I know. I think, yeah, there is a lot of factors, especially like the fact that it is people often live so far away from, hospitals and, just a GP and things like that, which, prolongs care as well. And I suppose, you would see that also in like, other states where people just live too far away from a hospital. So they just, think that, oh, no, my leg's fine. It's not that infected. And then it gets a bit too infected and they're like, okay, I think we should go to hospital now. And, it's obviously much more different where, here when you have access to healthcare more easily, you just will go for, a little thing. And then, everyone, I think, it's a lot of privilege. I think, you realize how, lucky you are to have so much access to healthcare. And especially, in Australia, we have free healthcare and, it's quite different to like America and things like that. So yeah, I think lots of things play into it. So it's interesting to hear because, I've only had sort of metro experiences and never did even like a regional placement. So I'm very oblivious to sort of other things. So I'm just basing off like little things I know.
I was just gonna say another thing I thought of is that a lot of people, Aboriginal people speak multiple languages, so there's like the cultural, like not just cultural but also like language, you want to make sure that like information that's being given to people in a way that they can understand. So we have Aboriginal liaison officers which
Amazing.
they can help with translating and that, which is really great. They're a wonderful resource, but yeah, that's just another thing that plays into it. And also one other thing I thought of was the cost of food, like healthy food and that in communities is really high. Like I think one of my friends went out to one recently and it was like $10 for a cabbage or something,
Oh
and
my God.
it's like you wouldn't like, yeah, like people can't like, so it's cheaper to buy like unhealthy foods, which is no like not anyone's fault, because you can't spend crazy amount of money on the fruit and vegetable, but and also there isn't that much of a variety, so then like it's like those sort of things that can lead to the health like diabetes and renal disease.
Yeah.
So it's just like a whole like circle of everything like impacts it all. So
Yeah, I suppose. And then you think it's like only so much that like a health service can sort of do to, Yeah.
change things. It's like actually a like a bigger scale, like, governments need to do more to like, provide better access to healthy food options and not make ridiculous prices, because like I wouldn't be purchasing like a $10 cabbage here either, and I
Yeah,
think
exactly.
it's not like, anyone's fault of how much money they earn and whether they can buy like fresh fruit or veg. It just, people should be able to access that. Yeah, I remember like seeing those posts on Facebook about how expensive like fresh fruit are. And even now, like, strawberries are so expensive, and blueberries, raspberries, I haven't even had a fresh one in ages. So it's not good.
Yeah.
How else would you say like overall like the health service differs from like placement experiences you've had back in Brisbane? I suppose just any differences that we might not be aware of.
I what did I write? I just said there's like definitely a quicker turnover of staff, which I hadn't really seen in Brisbane, which can be good because you're meeting people all the time, but then like it also has its downsides, obviously. And resources can take a bit of time to get here. Like I haven't had like any experience where I'm like, oh, we desperately need this and like we don't have it. Like it's been pretty good, but sometimes things do take a while to come out. And like I said before about patients like coming for hundreds of kilometers away and the importance of discharge planning. And also we have this thing called toll policy where it's like take own leave, and it's basically if someone, because people here are often like they will just leave hospital, like if they have something come up or like families in town or whatever the reason, like they will just leave hospital. And it's basically if they are gone for more than 4 hours, then they're discharged as like toll, like they.
Oh, I have that as well.
Oh, you do have that?
Yeah, I know, we use it when we have like patients that are a bit more, druggy, and they're constantly downstairs smoking or doing who knows what downstairs. And we're literally like looking at the time thinking, like, for us, we're like, all right, cool, we're able to kick them out. But for you obviously want them to get the help.
Yeah, literally like so much of like nursing here, it's like if someone's leaving, I'm like, okay, like you have to be back within 4 hours or else you have to go back through ED, like but it so
Wow.
it's quite a common thing. And yeah, just ring out patients, be like, are you coming back? Like some shifts, yeah, you'll have like four patients, not four, I've had like three or four patients like just haven't been there.
Oh,
Which is like,
really?
I've like Sundays just had like one or two patients and the rest have gone off the ward. I'm like, okay.
Bye.
Yeah.
What is the ratios there, if you don't mind me asking?
It's 1 to 5.
And
So
is
it
that like
is.
across like morning and afternoon shift too?
Yeah, it is. Which, yeah, I was kind of worried about it when I came here because I was used to 1 to 4 in Queensland. But normally the allocations are like they're pretty good, like team leaders aren't really going to give you like a really heavy allocation when you have five patients. And sometimes if we're team nursing as well, which I do actually quite like team nursing, especially because on my ward at the moment it's been quite like heavy in terms of like behavioural patients and just like a few that are like multiple assists, like so team nursing is better in that aspect. You have someone you can work with to manage those patients.
Yeah, definitely. What else was I gonna say? So what do you think has been like the biggest challenge, like transitioning, and working in the Northern Territory?
I think there hasn't been like one major challenge. I feel like just looking back on like the last 6 months, it has been kind of like a whirlwind, like because like, you're learning so much in your grad year, and like being away from like my family and friends was kind of hard. But I also was so busy that I don't think it impacted me as much as it would have, like if I had heaps of free time, like. But yeah, it's been very different to anything that I was used to before, but it's been overall like there hasn't really been that many challenges. Like everyone on my ward has been super supportive, and like when I was first starting, like, and I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing, like, yeah, and yeah, it was super helpful and like welcoming, and the grad educators were really good as well. Like they'd come and check on us like all the time and see if we need a hand with anything. So I'd say like the only real challenge I've come across was like sometimes understaffing, but I feel like that's everywhere. Like especially now, all nurses are like, oh, we're just understaffed. It's kind of like a normal thing now.
Yeah, I feel like for you it'd be difficult because, like, unless you've got someone that's already sort of signed up to a contract or they might cancel it last minute, then you're kind of left with no one. You're like, you're relying on that sort of number to come through and help you.
I'll just put it out there. Everyone come to the NT for to work, like do a little advertising.
Yeah.
We need people.
Would you definitely recommend it? Like for
I
anyone that might
would.
be listening that's a bit nervous and but wants to try something new, would you say just do it?
I'd recommend it 100%. Like, it is obviously scary trying something new, especially when you may have not been like working rural or remote before, but you can always like come for a short like contract, and like because there's heaps of agencies as well, so you're not like locked into anything. You can just try it, see how you like it. I think that's what a few people I've met here, they're like have come up from Melbourne, and this one lady, she was like, I've always wanted to go rural, but like I didn't know, so I just did she did like an 8 week contract here, and now I think she's going somewhere like other places. But yeah, I would 100% recommend it. And
Nice.
the things you see is like different presentations, and the people you meet, they're all fantastic, I feel like, because everyone's just like, we're all like in the middle of nowhere, like
It's
having a
like it
good
makes a
time.
family. And I feel like I'm just making assumptions, but I assume like, the team at like all the nurses and in charges and management would be really supportive because they know that everyone's basically coming with like really limited outside support because you're just completely packing up your life and moving.
My mum has been really good, like she's very supportive, and all the team leaders and everyone just very supportive, and everyone, like people that have worked at the hospital for a long time, like know that there's people constantly coming from different areas, so
Amazing. And I think just another have a listen to my other episode that I did with Vicky. It's all about rural and remote nursing. So if anyone is listening to this and is a bit interested about, agency, she's actually an agency nurse and I think she works mostly in WA though, but she I think she might have done some in the Northern Territory, but she has like does lots of little contracts all around like little hospitals and just testing out where she likes to work and she does lots of traveling and all her photos of all the WA beaches look amazing and I'm like I would love to do something like that one day. I think it's just so fun.
I definitely have seen people post that W like working in WA, and I'm like, I'm tempted to go over there.
Do you think it's
Like,
made you more adventurous like moving there?
I think so. Or before I moved, like before COVID, I used to like traveling a lot. I've been on a few overseas trips with some friends, but I feel like it's been good to explore Australia as well. Like, I'd never been to the NT before I moved here. And yeah, I'd say so. I'm like, I feel like I'm more like, yep, I'll give something a go, like see how it goes, and if I don't like it, then there's always other options. So
Definitely. And following on from that, do you reckon you'll stay in the NT or what are you planning to do after your grad year?
I'm actually not 100% sure yet. I'm part of me is like thinking of staying, maybe going up to Darwin, but then I just don't know. Like, I don't have a set plan as of yet. I'm thinking I'll see how I like it in surgical and then make a decision about what I want to do next year. I'm not 100% sure yet.
Well, it's very exciting times ahead, but also stressful because you're making all these decisions and you think like, what could be if I do this or this. But it'll be good. Do you think you would even take up agency or not yet?
Maybe a bit later on. I think you have to have, I don't know if it's 1 or 2 years experience, but I think it might be two before they will take you on. So maybe down the track, it's definitely something I'm interested in doing. Because have met so many agency nurses here, and they're going to all these different places, and it seems really cool. So yeah, that's definitely something I might do down later on. But yeah, there's just so many options. It's like overwhelming.
Yeah, of course. Do you think, because I find like dialysis so interesting, do you think like working with renal patients has made you interested? Because do they do like, I'm thinking like maybe like mobile dialysis could be like, something that the governments could come up with and, bring dialysis to little communities and make it more accessible.
I don't know if I want to go into dialysis nursing, but there's actually a dialysis, like, it's not like a ward, but there's like a whole section of the hospital that like is just for dialysis. And then there's also one down the road from the hospital where like people, outpatients go. And there is, I think, this charity, I think it's a charity, Purple House, or have you heard of that place?
No, I haven't.
They're like, I think they might be like a social enterprise or something, and they fundraised a lot of money, and they got a dialysis, like they fund a dialysis chair to go out to this particular community because it was better for people living there. They didn't want to have to travel into town like 3 times a week just for dialysis. So that's that. But I don't think there's like a government run like dialysis program that goes out to community. I feel like I mean, there is definitely a need for it, that's for sure. But yeah, have to see if that's something that happens.
Very interesting. And finally, would you have any, I know we've sort of chatted about this, but like any general tips about someone wanting to complete a rural grad year or just wanting to try something new? I already said just do it, but is there anything else you want to add?
I think for grad years, like, just I think, yeah, just complete your application the best you can. And I feel like if you're willing to like go wanting to go rural, they kind of see that as like a good thing because like, oh, this person's interested, like they're wanting to do that. But if you're just wanting to go rural, I'd probably recommend like getting in touch with, like, you could bring up like a num of a hospital, have a chat to them. I mean, a number of award, and because I don't know, I feel like it's more like community kind of, like in small towns, like you could probably just ring up and like have a chat, and like that would be fine, like, and get to suss it out and like see if it's something you're interested in. Or just I'd recommend talking to other people that have been to like rural as well. That like I spoke to quite a few people when I was deciding what I wanted to do
How did
last
you
year, and I found
connect
that
with
really
them?
helpful.
Was there a specific, like a Facebook
I
group or
think,
something?
yeah, there's a Facebook page. It's the Nurse Break one, but it's rural. There's a rural and remote
Oh, yeah.
specific one. So people post a lot of things about their experiences, and it was actually this one girl. She wrote an article. Her name's Emma, and she wrote an article about her grad year in Alice, and that like inspired me. Then I messaged her on Instagram, and then we were chatting about she answered like all my questions. So
Amazing. Yeah, I definitely recommend chatting because that's how I decided where I wanted to apply for grad years and like deciding your preferences is I think if you haven't had an experience at a particular hospital or if you're making like a big change, then yeah, definitely talk to somebody that's worked there because they can answer all your questions and make you feel like more comfortable with making that decision and seeing if it's like for you. So yeah, networking is like I think like the number one thing when deciding like what job to do. It's like as important as writing a really good resume because like you want to know if that's something you really want to do. And sometimes you don't know until you try it. There's like nothing wrong with not knowing anyone and just giving it a go, but
And
asking around helps.
I feel like when you're in your third year, like I don't know, whenever I was on placement, I was just talking to different nurses all the time about like grad year stuff and like advice. I was getting advice from everyone because I was like, I just don't even know what I'm doing. Like, so it's good to get different perspectives from different people and like advice about, yeah, like writing the cover letters and all that. And I do not miss applying for grad years. I was thinking about that today. I was like, it was so stressful.
Oh, I know. I know it's a lot, but I feel like, kind of a good thing. I feel like maybe hopefully with COVID there's like more positions. 'Cause I know like there's obviously only a limited amount, but I do know that most hospitals I think are getting a bit more extra spots for grads. So, hopefully everyone gets their dream
Everyone gets
position. Yeah.
one.
Well, thank you so much for this chat. I've absolutely loved it learning all about the Northern Territory. I feel like I've already started saying the Northern Territory, so I feel like I can't just start saying the NT. But it's been really interesting learning about it, and I hope everyone enjoys the episode.
Thank you so much for having me. I hope that all made sense. I feel like I was rambling a bit, but that's
No, we love rambling. And what's
fine.
your you have a nursing insta too, so
Yeah.
I will pop it in when I post it, but anyone I'm sure is welcome to message you and chat about your experience further if they want to.
Yeah, for sure. I'll be happy to help.
Thank you so much, Sabine. Have a nice night.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.